For over 2,000 years, we've struggled with what to make of Judas and his place as a follower of Jesus. Throughout Christian history, Judas has been known as the one who betrayed Jesus, the one who turned Jesus over to those who would have him crucified. And as Matthew tells the story, this betrayal earned Judas nothing more than 30 coins of silver. Mark also tells that Judas was given money for his betrayal of Jesus, but Mark doesn't specify an amount. Each of the Gospels tells the story a bit differently, but each is clear that the actions of Judas caused the life of Jesus to come to a gruesome, painful, violent end. Judas' actions in all four Gospels were a facilitating factor in Jesus' crucifixion, and throughout history we have no clear explanation of Judas' motivation for his betrayal. And because of our nature, our insatiable need to determine a cause-effect correlation, throughout history, explanations of the seemingly inexplicable actions of Judas have been posited. In John's recollection of the events that led to the crucifixion, the disciples themselves began to search for explanations as the evening unfolded. Judas wasn't leaving to do anything untenable. He was merely going to buy the items needed for the Passover celebration. Everything has a logical explanation, doesn't it? We're all friends here. Jesus must be mistaken. And yet, when Jesus announced that the one at the table would betray him, each one there was drawn to speculation about who the betrayer might be. This, too, is part of our human nature that seems not to change. When the room becomes tense, look around to determine the direction to hurl the blame. The reality that we seem to so easily overlook or ignore is that until this very night, until this very moment in time, Judas was included in the circle of Jesus' closest friends. In our journey toward the cross, it's not until tomorrow night, Maundy Thursday, that we retell the story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples to show them the servant ministry to which they are called. But in the progression of John's gospel, that event has just occurred, and Judas had his feet washed by Jesus along with the other disciples. He was never singled out. Not until this very moment. He was never sidelined, never treated as an other. He was included in every way, as were the others in Jesus' closest group of friends. That's important for us to think about, not so that we can better understand Judas, but so that we can better understand Jesus. And what we come to understand about Jesus is that his love, the very love of God, crosses more barriers than we can even imagine. That love is described this way in Eucharistic Prayer D. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Can we venture to believe that? That Jesus loves his own to the end? Are we quick to throw Judas into the category of not Jesus' own? If we do that, how do we deal with his place at the Passover feast? What do we do with Jesus washing Judas' feet or giving him bread in what is considered the first Eucharistic moment? What does this say about Jesus? Maybe that his love knows no constraints, that our boundaries are meaningless, that even betrayal can be redeemed by the love of Christ.